we should go and we should look to Jesus Christ as our role model, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in facing, as a Christian, we are faced with many challenges, and sometimes, you know, we are faced in certain, we are put into circumstances where we may be tempted to you know, to go the world's way or to do the wrong thing. But even with reading on, I was talking about even with reading and not compromising. Sorry about that. Sorry. 59. I have my scripture here. 59. Sorry. Yes, and I was thinking about Joseph and him being placed in that situation where he was provoked. No, he was provoked, you know. It would have been an easier, I wouldn't say easier, but it was very tempting for him at that point in time. But then he still stood strong and had faith in Christ and stood strong to what he believed, and he stood strong to what he knew to be the truth and what is the right thing to do. And so many times we are placed in situations where it is difficult. I wouldn't say difficult, but it's tempting. So we just have to stand our ground. We need to know the word of God. We need to know what God says to us so that we will not be tempted to fall in circumstances like that. This one really resonated with me. Not compromising the word of God or our habits to something that is not of God.
Okay.
Yes.
Any of the scripture, any other scripture there?
In terms of not compromising or the other qualities of
a any other quality.
Okay. I think integrity and discipline. Discipline. Okay, this one is a sort of a hard one, and this one was taken that's from Daniel, right? And even with that one where we see that Daniel being that person of a spirit of excellence. Excuse me one second, I'll go to the back because I'm being disturbed a little bit. Daniel having like a spirit of excellence in him and being that disciplined person that he is. So we would see that he would wake up every single day. He would pray to the Father at least 3 times daily. This is what was quoted in scripture. And even sometimes we as Christians, some of us struggle. I wouldn't say we struggle, or we're not that disciplined in terms of our prayer, in terms of our fasting, our sacrifice, worship unto God. And, you know, I believe this is one of the areas we need to, you know, really need to focus on, being disciplined in our prayer life, in our Christian life, you know, in the things that we need to do, our relationship with God. Yes, this is another one, just like Daniel was, and having that spirit of excellence within us, knowing that everything that he did what was right unto God. Yeah, basically.
Okay, good. Very, very good. So I'm going to give you a star today, all right, for such an explanation. And well-disciplined, I like that one.
Yeah.
We spoke about Galatians 5 on Tuesday, the fruit of the Spirit, and one of it is self-control. We have to do that. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit would wake you up like 3 o'clock in the morning, and you sit 3 o'clock in the morning and you're tempted to dip back down in the bed. But a lot of times when that hour is for us to pray.
It's to pray, yes. It's true.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then sometimes somebody, God might list somebody on our heart, or maybe a situation. Some things we might have been battling with, or there may be an attack of the enemy, because around that time is a time when he also likes to do his bidding And remember, his time is getting very short.
Yeah.
And Jesus demonstrated even the watch time to pray when he would go at certain in Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, to pray. Yes. So, thank you very much, Malaika.
Thank you.
You have done well. You have done well.
Also, to with the issue of discipline, and you mentioning self-discipline, I would also like to add, like, this is one of, yes, it's, pay status, but it's also, we're talking about the values there, right? Like, the values, okay, fine. Like, it's a value, but it's also a fruit of the Spirit. And sometimes we struggle with ourselves, but we need to know that it's something that the Holy Spirit needs to develop in us, because we can't do it in our own strength. The idea of discipline and self-discipline, self-control, that kind of thing, basically. Yeah.
Yes. There's a song that says, "Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go."
Yes.
When Samuel answered the call of God, he said, "Here I am, send me." As space setters, that's what we need to say. Okay. "Here am I, Lord." It is I, Lord. Sabrina, welcome. We have Ramona, Kenya came in, Ivy, Simonia Brown is coming in. We are having a discussion. Remember the homework, look at the scriptures, and then you would explain to us what you understand. Malaika has just done an excellent job. She spoke about being well disciplined, and that's with Joseph when he was in Egypt. And she also spoke about Daniel, who would not compromise. He did not compromise. So we are going to await. I call on Malaika to date hers. So I would ask Pamela, if you're there, come in, please.
Okay, I shall come in. I read most of the thing that says the qualities of the pace setter as well. A pace setter is disciplined. Okay, so I will, because she gave explanations about Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will go to the one that says a pace setter is humble.
Mm-hmm.
In Philippians chapter 2, from 5 to 8, it talks about Jesus and being humble, and that he's a good example to us, and that we ought to have the mind of Christ, the same attitude that he had.
Mm-hmm.
We must have as pace setters, an attitude of humility, because he was God himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he lay aside all of his splendor and all of his deity to take on the form of man, so that we could be redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to read the scripture over in Philippians 2, from 5 to 8. Philippians 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians 2, 5 to 8 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So he put aside everything, all his splendor, all his glory, all his majesty, and he took on the form of man, so that he could identify with us, and that he could be our perfect sacrifice. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and that was the worst type of death he could ever think about. The death of the crucifixion. And that shows that he was not thinking about himself when he submitted himself to his Father's will, because he prayed in the garden, "Is there any other way? let this cup pass from me. But then when he focused on his mission, what he had actually come to earth to do, he surrendered his will and he said, Father, let not my will but thine be done. And that is what is expected of us. We're not perfect at it yet, but we are getting there and we will get there little by little as we try to daily submit ourselves to our Master. So it's, I'm sure not one person can say that they are fully submitted, that he or she is fully submitted to God, but we ought to be learning. And of course, when we make a mistake, we confess it and we ask him for the grace to move on again. Because we see that even Jesus had to ask him, you know, he had to resubmit his will to his Father and to surrender and go on with the task, move on with the task of dying for our sins. So we see that he is a perfect example of humility. Jesus always depended on his Father. We'd see that he'd get up early in the mornings to pray. And sometimes, even during the day, he would pray and he would say, Father, this is for your glory. Whatever it is he was going to do, whatever miracle he was going to perform, not because of me, but because of you. So he submitted his everything to his Father. He was there about his Father's business. And we too ought to be about our Father's business. It should be our number one priority. Yes, we have a lot of things to do. And our time can be caught up doing other things, but we need to give ourselves over to completing the mission that he has sent us to complete. He, in suffering wrong, the word tells us in 1 Peter that if we suffer wrong, not because we deserve what they are doing to us, but because they are doing it just because they hate us, they dislike us, or whatever, that is good. But if you suffer wrong justly, then there's no glory in that. So we have to always be our ambassadors, our lights and our salt, because that's what we are, ambassadors of Christ and light and salt of the earth. So we ought always to, you know, to portray that part of us and not cause the unbelievers or even our sisters and brothers to justly accuse us of things. Rather, let it be a false accusation from the unbelieving. Being in the world, but not of the world. Well, we are called sanctified, set apart. We ought to be different because we are a chosen generation, a peculiar people. So we ought to be those type of persons that anyone looking at us will say, oh, she must be a Christian, because we portray something different. Excuse me. We should be reacting differently to what would be expected of the world. For example, if somebody comes, for example, just steps on your big toe, instead of pushing the person and saying, why you don't need to step on me? We should say, oh, excuse me, but you stepped on my toe. You know, in a little quiet, gentle way, you give the message across, but not harshly. We ought to be more gentle. Jesus was gentle, even with those that the Pharisees condemned and said that they were sinners. Jesus was gentle with them, even though they were wrong. So we have to try to be like this as well. Compassion. I didn't read that one. Oneness with the Father. I didn't read that one either. In his love, yes, Jesus was as a pace setter, was always loving, and he demonstrated his love to, oh yes, the compassion one, the woman whose son had died, the widow whose son had died. Jesus felt so much compassion for her that he actually touched the dead guy. He stopped the procession and touched the guy and raised him back to life. He was exhibiting compassion there. And his love, well, he demonstrated that all the time in many different ways, by healing the sick, even people like lepers. He healed them. He actually touched them. He opened the blind eyes. He was very loving and compassionate. I talk about his praying already in his use of scripture. Jesus always referred to Old Testament texts. And on the way to Emmaus, after his resurrection, when he met those guys, they were talking about him, but they didn't know that it was him. Mm-hmm. So he explained from the Old Testament all what took place with him, so that their eyes were opened after he had broken the bread and so on. Yeah. In forgiving, Colossians 3:13, I don't remember what that one says, so I'm going to look at it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So it's encouraging us to be forgiven. This can be difficult, because we may feel justified in not forgiving, because how the person has wronged us can be so severe and so grave to us. But we need to forgive, even as Christ has forgiven us. And he expects us to do that, because when we don't forgive, even as we looked at that before a few lessons ago, that forgiveness hinders our prayers. And we want our prayers to be heard. And we want others to also see that you know, we have the love of Christ in us and we can forgive them because Christ also forgave us. I will leave something for the others to do.
Okay, thank you very much, Pamela. I think when we were doing the counseling session, Pamela had seemed very shy. But I'm glad that you open up today, and I'll also give you.
I'm not really shy, you know. It's just when I don't know something, I don't know something. When I know something, I know it.
Oh, okay. All right. Ivy, say something. Let me see if your mic is working.
Yes, my mic is now.
Okay. And Simonia, your mic working too?
Yes, Sister Lavin, good night. I just connected because I had issues.
Yes, I realized that because I was seeing it there. That's why I said to see something.
Then, my husband came, so I had to, you know.
Yeah. All right. Glad to have you all. Brendley, it's your turn now.
The two I choose, I looked at most of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the two I'll choose to look at is in his oneness with the Father, John mm-hmm. chapter 17, verses 11 and verse 21 to 23, which reads thus, chapter 17, verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I can to the Heavenly Father, keep them, thou them, thine own name, those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 21 to 23 read, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And it's dependent upon the Father, which is John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showed him all things that himself does, and he will show him greater work than these, that he may marvel. Jesus' example for us as the church and as believers, that oneness with his Father and his discipline, I think the church needs more of that. We as believers and as the church need more of that in the coming pace setting. Piggyback of where we left off on Tuesday, I feel that this is why we are not seeing the manifestation of that glory he talked about, of the miracles he talked about, because we have a tendency of wanting to do it my way. Mm-hmm. And to become one with the Father and the Son and totally depend on them, it's a sacrifice. We must die. We must crucify our flesh and the lust thereof. And it's not an easy pill to swallow. So I feel a lot of people feel more contented if, you know, I'm in my religion and I'm saved and my religion teach me this and that's it. But I believe that those called out, those for who are willing to die, who are willing to say, yes, I want to be one with the Lord. Yes, Jesus is my example as a pace setter, and mm-hmm. I must follow. I must walk in his footsteps. You know, I had a girlfriend, have a girlfriend who told me I am crazy. And I find myself in my prayer time again, praying it. I prayed, Lord, I want to know you in the power of your suffering, in your suffering and in the power of your resurrection. He was like, you're the most craziest person I ever see. Who would want to pray to suffer like Jesus? You see what Jesus meant? I said, well, he told us to be one with him, so I must be willing enough to want to. And today in my prayer, it was like, now, Lord, I know you in your suffering. I need to know you in your resurrected power. Mm-hmm. I want to walk in that resurrected power. And therefore, if we want to walk in that resurrected power, we must sit at his feet 24/7, whether we're in a crowd or whether we're home all alone. We must know his voice so distinctly that over the noise of the marketplace, you could hear him say, no, don't buy that. Or you need to move and you need to move now. Mm-hmm. And just follow his leading as he lead us, because we had come to that place of being one with him and totally dependent upon him, that we should be so totally dependent that we talk everything with him, from the smallest little thing to the biggest mountain that come up against us, because we realize that if I talk to my daddy and be one with my daddy, whatever my daddy tell me, I can follow, because my daddy knows best. He know how to deal with what I'm facing. He know it. Like I said to him this morning in my prayer, I said, Lord, where I'm at is no surprise to you. You knew this before you fashioned me in my mummy womb to come out on the 25th day of November. So we must come to that place where, as Faith says, we just surrender and do what he wants, that he will be glorified. And we will be blessed, but it's all about him and not about us. Sure. And I feel that if the church come to that oneness and that total dependency on God, we will see people coming to Christ and dray loads. We'll see signs and wonders. And some people going to come because they can see the sign and wonder. I want to know that person. If that person do that for you, I need to know him. So our oneness and our dependency on the Father and the Son, like he said, we should be, because he is and they are, and he has given us the power to be, we'll be able to go out of here quick, fast, in a hurry. That's my piece for tonight on, as Faith said, becoming one and totally dependent on the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brenda Lee. And, you know, I was listening to you very carefully. And I smiled because that prayer about allowing God to take every part of us, when you said that, my whole body quiver, because as I was driving this morning, those were my prayer as I was driving. Those were my prayer, because this morning in family devotion, there's a situation that confronted us as a family. And, you know, sometimes we have to be so careful, especially when it has to deal with somebody outside of the family. And I prayed a prayer this morning. And by the time I was getting ready to leave the house, I got a call. And the problem that the family was facing for so many years, it was solved. So whatever we had to do today, we had to curtail that aspect of it, but there were other stuff involved, because God worked things out when we totally surrender our will to him. When our will is aligned with him as pace setters, as it says, we are going to face challenges. But in facing the challenges, when we allow God to take the wheel, he would do great and mighty things. So perhaps, Brenda Lee, you are listening to my heart prayer this morning, because I really had to reach out to God, you know, and seek his face and find out exactly what he wants, how he wants things to be conducted. And God worked things out instantly. So we have no choice but to hand over every part of our lives. And we ask him to give us hind feet so that we can climb in high places in him and move from one glory onto another glory. So thank you very much, Brenda Lee. May you continue to walk the way God wants you to walk so that you can do great and mighty things for him. All right, because we were a few when we started, I called names. What I'm going to do now, well, Sister Kirby was here, so I don't know if she has anything to share, if she would have read the chapter. So if there's anything you want to share, can you take the opportunity now to do that? And Kenya and Simonia, Sabrina, Romania, Ivy, Kiran came in. Welcome, Teresa, my friend. She came in after. So what we're doing is sharing until we go to the next topic where we left off on Tuesday. So, Sister Kirby, if there's anything you want to share.
Just to agree with what she spoke, I think is Brenda Lee, about that we would know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Uh-huh. And the power of his resurrection. Uh-huh. That is actually what the Apostle Paul recommended for us, and it is very important because the scripture says if we are going to reign with him, we have to suffer with him.
That's right.
And it is part of the whole process of submitting to his Holy Spirit, self-control in the midst of whatever we are going through, and relying, as the Apostle Paul said, his grace, as he wanted to get what he was experiencing, that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan that buffeted him. He prayed to be relieved of it, but God said to him, my grace is made perfect in your suffering. So sometimes there are necessary things that we have to go through for the glory of God. And when we agree with what? When we agree with what he wants for us, the transformation and the miracles take place. Yeah, that's all I would say.
Yes, and thank you very much. And that is true. We can't say we're serving God and don't want to follow in the footsteps. I was reading this morning Psalms 50, and that is to show us the righteousness of God as a judge. He is a fair judge. He does what he needs to do, and as fair setters, we need to have some judgment in whatever we're doing. So thank you very much. Anybody else on the floor wants to share? Teresa, you have Ivy Butler. You have anything to say?
Good night. Sorry for being late.
Okay, Teresa. Did you do your homework?
Well, today was a very busy day.
Okay.
As you can see, I just reached.
All right. I excuse you today. But in January, when I come back to class, remember, let me see. I have class January 19th and the 21st, God's Fair Life. So be ready, right, Teresa?
Yes, I will.
Okay, then. Ivy, I saw you on mute. Your mic, you want to share anything that you might have read?
Okay, good evening. I wasn't in on Tuesday, but I did read up on basically all of the scriptures where Jesus has placed that. I just believe that that's where you might have been today. And so I did that portion. When I look at what are the examples, I mean, the qualities of a pace setter, following the example of Jesus, I love the very beginning one there that John says in the 13 and the 15. He says that we, even as Jesus has done unto us, we ought to do to others, knowing that the servants is not greater than the Lord. So we cannot, in nothing that we do, we can't be greater than Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. And so we must follow, we must be able to follow and identify with the examples of Jesus. And it talks about in the suffering. You know, I looked at Peter when he says that doing well, for doing well, we can suffer even if we are suffering for the sake of Christ. Sorry, but that's something expired. Oh, wow. What just happened? Oh, something just, I think I touched something just now. Okay. So doing well for the suffering of Christ. Take, you know, when we do wrong in our own phones, in our own selves, sometimes we are patient enough to accept that wrong. Not wanting to accept that wrong, actually. But when you say in here, when we do well for Christ, when we suffer for the sake of Christ, that is actually what pleases God. Not when, because even when we go out and we do things that are self-inflicting, you know, we are not as what should I say? Oh, for lack of a word, we anyhow, we take it more patiently than in our Christian walk when, you know, we are suffering for Christ and maybe we are persecuted. Sometimes we complain a little more, you know, and we are not so patient with that. But he's saying we ought to be, when we are suffering for Christ, we ought to be patient because God rewards that when we suffer. And in Galatians, where Paul talks about the crucifying the flesh, that is something that we must understand as we follow the example of Jesus Christ, that it is not in ourselves that we do, that we live this life. We there's nothing that we can do. The Bible tells us that the best of what we do is as filthy rags in the sight of God. And so when he says, Paul said, it's not I that lives this life, but it's Christ who liveth through us. And so we must recognize as we follow the example of Jesus Christ that it's not in ourselves that we are doing it, but it's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that is living this life. And so we ought not to boast. Galatians 6 and 14 tells us we ought not to boast in glory in our, and the things that we do, that we may get no good reputation or praise for, but we are to glory in the cross. We are to glory in knowing Jesus Christ and having our names in the Lamb Book of Life. And so as Pace said, us, we have to be good examples then. We must be good examples. We must follow Jesus Christ, as he said in his word here, that we are to bear the infirmities of the weak. And so we will find in our walk that all of us will not be on the same page, or we may not be having the same anointing, or not being strong in our walk or in our relationship with God. But here we see Paul tells us that we ought to be able to bear the infirmities of the weak, even as Christ did for us. And it is for us, when we do that, it's to please our neighbors and for the edification of them. You know what I mean? Because some may be weak, some may not know as much as you know, I know, but we ought to bear the infirmity and help to also to support them or to teach them or to be in a good example. Because in the world today, they said they do not now read the Bible, they read our lives. So our lives should depict the word of God, you know, and we should be good examples so that when people look at us, like the word says, they would see Jesus Christ living in us. And like Brandy said, they would want to serve that God that they see being portrayed by the examples that we set. And so that was a good one there. And then Ephesians tells us that we are to walk in love. That's something that you know, a lot of people often say, well, there's no love, but I beg to differ when you say there's no love, because if there wasn't no love, then the world would be in total chaos, not just some chaos as it is now, be total chaos if there was no love in the world. So there is some love in the world, but it's just that the manifestation of how we manifest our love to one another sometimes does not come out exactly the way we want it to come out. And so, but it's just that the love of God in us has to be perfected from day to day. We're not just walking. The love has not yet been perfectly perfected in us as Christians. And so sometimes where we would want to display maybe a specific, for the lack of the word then, Lord, somebody give me a word. When we feel, let's say your feeling or your attitude, let's go with that. Where we would want to display that, sometimes it comes out in the wrong way. You know, you it comes out in the wrong. So somebody say, well, you don't have any love, or you're no Christian. But it's not always that. It's just like sometimes, you know, it just isn't displayed the way you would have wanted it to come out at that specific time. And so there we just can my prayer on a daily basis is that the love of God is perfected within me. You know, that the love of God become perfect within me, because I recognize that the Bible says when the love of God is perfected in us, the love of God drives out all fear. You know, and the love of God covers a multitude of sin. And so I'm not so easily offended when the love of God is really operating within me. I'm not so easily hurt. Or even if I'm hurt or offended, the spirit of reconciliation will always come forth. Amen. Where I would be able to forgive more easily, you know, when the love of God is perfected. So as Jesus' example, we ought to really allow the love of God to be perfect. Become perfect in us. That should be one of our aim, that God's love become perfect within us. Because when God's love become perfect within us, then you know, we really can be that example like Jesus was. You know, it doesn't matter whether people spit on us, whether they persecute us, what they do with us, the love of God will go beyond, you know, because he said he looks beyond our faults. And he sees our needs. That's what love will do. It wouldn't look at the fault of the person or the offense or the hurt. It will look beyond that and see what they need, that they need love, they need mercy, they need brotherly kindness, they need long suffering, they need your patience. And so that's what love would help us. And so that was one of them that I really love when it comes to pace setter and being example for Jesus Christ. And I read all of them, so I'm going to skip them all down. And so another one that I liked was what she was talking about, the dependence upon the Father. We as the example and pace setters, we really need to be able to get to a place where we truly depend upon God and being able, amen, doing nothing in ourselves. Because, you know, there are a lot of times we do a lot of things just by our ability or our strength, you know what I mean? I have the ability to do it, or I'm strong, I can do it. But here, I don't do anything of myself, you know. I do what I see my Father do. I say what I hear my Father saying. So we have to be careful. You know, I just was going back over the lesson that we did on self-manifestation. You know what I mean? And this hit me when I came here, back to that where he said, we have to be careful of self. You know what I mean? The man, how self manifests itself. And so I recognize that, like Jesus says, I do nothing of myself. And so it is important that we truly depend on God in everything. Do the will of the Father, not what we want, not our desires. He said, let our desires die. Take on the desire of Christ. And so I love that one in there. Also, but just to let somebody else have something to say, I'm going to stop because I did all of them and I jot down little things on all of them here right now. So I could go each one right down there, but for the sake of time, I will have let somebody else say something.
Okay, thank you very much, Ivy. One of the things we spoke about on Tuesday is being a positive mentor must be upright. One of the issues a lot of people would have is that when they would use the excuse that we are not perfect. In recent time, what the Lord was saying to me is that he said in his word, he's holy. And because he's holy, he requires us to be holy. And if God knew that we could not live a holy life, he would not have asked us to do that. What we do is strive towards, and there's a song that says, oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. Peter walked the walk of Jesus, and they wanted to crucify him just the way Christ was crucified. He said, you know what? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my Jesus was crucified. So they crucify him upside down. The love of God perfected in me. That's one of the things Ivy spoke about, and I make a jotting of it. Because when we can say, my life is not my own, when we do total surrender, as Samuel, when he said, here am I, Lord, send me. Let us think about Isaiah, who the call of God was upon his life. What did he do? He preferred to serve a king. But what happened? The carpet was taken from under him. And that's why when he totally surrendered to God, and you know what? He went about making excuses still. He said, oh, I'm from a people with unclean lips. You know, I'm living among people. But even though we're living among people with unclean lips, what we do, and somebody said it earlier, and we said it on Tuesday, Ivy, the life that we live is a life that some people use for their Bible, is a life that others can only see us because perhaps they cannot read. But when they see Christ lives within us, and our prayer is allowing God's kind of glory to shine through us so that we can be the pace setters that God truly wants us to live. When we are well disciplined, when we say to God, take all of me, take every part of me. Sometimes what happens, we'll tell God which part to leave. Don't touch that part there. Touch every other part. But we need to say like Samuel, here we are, Lord, send us. And when we allow him to send us and we are obedient to go, the rest is left to him. We have nothing. He said, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known unto him. Jesus knew exactly what his Father wanted of him. He knew what the Father's business was all about. And remember when his mother spoke to him about at the wedding about the wine and his response, but you know, at the end of the day, he was obedient. And she said to the servant, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And he said, fill up the water pot. We have the ability to be like Christ or to be like thee, but we have to do total surrender. Give him our all. Give him every part of us. Job said, God said about Job that he was an upright man, upright in all his ways. And some of the things that Job did, even with his children, he said in the event that they may have sinned, he offers sacrifice to them, for them. We can learn from David. Yes, David challenges was lost. He did that, but after he repented, the word didn't say he went back or he remained the same. He repented according to Psalm 51. He cried out to God. Anybody else have anything else to say very quickly so that we can proceed? Okay. I haven't seen any mic on mute. So our next subtopic is, Ramonia, you have something to say?
I just wanted to mention, I guess they mentioned they had touched on everything.
No, remember we said Tuesday that you would do the reading and then you can come and give some explanation because we didn't read the scriptures. They were a lot.
That's in serving others.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 6:3. So when we look at pace setters and we look at Jesus as a pace setter and we look at ourselves, as we have to imitate him, he is our pattern. He's the one we follow as a Christian. So I was just looking at the meaning of because I don't know everything. I'm talking about meaning from English into Spanish. So I was looking innovative, a person who is always doing. You imitate him, yes, but He pushes you forward. He pushes you deeper. When he said, the things that I do, you will also do. And greater things than this, you will do, because I go to the Father. So when I look at that, I say, Father, we want to do that what you used to do, and greater things. It's in your word. And then every day I keep reading and I keep asking myself, I said, Father, what is it that is going on that we can touch someone and the person will be healed? We can go and reach out and be able to do what he used to do. And this is where I am right now. And this is what I am evaluating about myself. And this is what I'm thinking about Pace Setter. Of me leading others beyond, not remaining as I am, but going beyond. I have reached this stage, but they can go higher than that, as Jesus said. But there is something that hindering, and it's we put limits, and we have been hindered because we are putting limits to what we can do. I guess fear creeps in, and we just say, oh God, if I touch that person and I pray with that person and that person get healed, and then we doubt that we have what Jesus said that we will have been as an instrument in his hand. This is my little thing.
Thank you very much, Ramonia. And while you were speaking, I wrote down passion. When we are passionate about things, and it may not just be the things of God, but passionate about something, passionate about our career, passionate in helping somebody, it sets the pace for us. And as you said, that we are being pushed. What God does, he pursues us. He woos us unto himself. That's why he says goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives. He woos on himself, unto himself. There is a book that is written by Hosea. It talks about the pursuit of God and how God pursues us. And how he runs after us. Why? Because we are his children. And in turn, what we need to do is have that passion for the things of God. So it set the pace for us to go to a higher level in him. Okay, thank you very much, Ramonia. And thank you for those who have shared. There's so much to learn sometimes. The facilitator can learn also from those who are participating and gives the encouragement and help us to see through the eyes of Abba. So our next topic, if nobody else, I see Sabrina. Mike is Sabrina.
Yes, a pleasant good evening, sisters. Good evening. I looked at Jesus as a pace setter in his relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I just really felt led to share, especially after Ramona and Sister Ivy, because the thing that I feel that has been given to us to empower us, to push us beyond, because I remember saying the same thing to the Lord. According to your word, you said that we would do the works that you did and even greater works. And when I had the courage to ask why we were not seeing the manifestations of the power of God mm-hmm. in our lives. And we were saying that we were Christians. The first thing he brought to my attention, he said, Sabrina, you all are not holy. Mm. He said, where are my wailing women? Who is standing in the gap? Where are the watchmen on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
And the second question I'd asked him was about the kind of violence that was happening at that time in our country. And this was 2008. And he said to me, you women, he said, you in particular, the ones called to the praying, I have given you the weapons of your warfare, but you are not utilizing it. Mm-hmm. It is because you are not praying that I cannot move. And so I see the Holy Spirit as that dunamis power that enables us. And it mm-hmm. said, now Jesus, full of and in perfect communication with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And I wanted to focus just on that part about the Holy Spirit because of all of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit and what it is to us. For me, the Holy Spirit as the dove, that was the first characteristic. And we know, I learned a lot of things about the dove that I didn't know about before at the beginning of this COVID-19, because again, the Lord brought to me the need for holiness and the need for us to be consecrated to walk in what he has called us to do. And so some of the characteristics of the dove is his gentleness. He is swift and he has purpose. We as pace setters and as wailing women, God is calling us to move swiftly when he gives us our assignments. Our purpose is fixed because all of us know we are called to be the messengers to tell others about the salvation that Christ has offered freely to us. The love of the Holy Spirit. He is consistent. He is warming. He is healing. He gives us strength. As the wind, he is a purifier and he's helpful. He's sociable. The Holy Spirit, everything about the Holy Spirit, I heard just recently and I concur, is that when you think of the Holy Spirit and the various attributes, it is always something that is moving. We see as the dove, he is moving. We see as the oil, how he is used, how he is poured out. And we, as wailing women, are called during this time to be the oil of solution. We see mm-hmm. the Holy, we know too that the oil is used in the anointing of the sick. And we, as the believers of Christ, that priesthood, we are called to confess our sins to each other and to allow reconciliation to take place. And by that, a lot of the bitterness, anger, and things that may be in our body, the sicknesses will be revealed. And Father, in this time, wants to heal us. But we need to come to that place on the altar. We see the Holy Spirit as water. We know that water is a source of life for us. We ourselves are comprised of water. The Holy Spirit, we know that the washing by the water of the word. So we are being cleansed. We are being made clean. He is the living water. The Lord said that rivers of living water will gush forth from our bellies. He has that water that will cause us not to thirst again, but we need to seek for it. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. We know that when Pentecost came, that tongues of fire came on the believers. And so again, we are called to be ablaze as Christians, as God's errand girls, so that yes, indeed, our lives is the gospel that is read by those people who may not be able to read, but because of us, that they would be drawn to Christ, because he said, when he is lifted up, then all men will be drawn to him. The power of the wind, God, Holy Spirit as wind coming, and that shows the power and the intensity of the Holy Spirit. And when we look at the Holy Spirit, so much of the fruit of the Spirit is aligned with the work of the Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is also seen as rain. And in this time, we are praying for that latter rain to rain upon us. And so we as women of God, one of the other things I wanted to mention about the oil is how costly the oil is and how special the oil is, because the oil, as it was used by the priests, has a special recipe, and all of the ingredients for that oil are still costly. Mm-hmm. And this was why it was only to be used by the priests. So it's a special oil, and yet he has poured out the Holy Spirit on us. So we have that anointing. We have that oil. And I have discovered that when you rest in him and release everything to the Lord, indeed you are light. Mm-hmm. And the work is done through us as vessels when we totally depend on him and give everything over to him. And it's hard because we want to be independent and we want to be in control. But when we release that control, God will do amazing things, because his word cannot lie, and he's just willing, waiting for us to surrender. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And that's a lot. It's a mouthful that we can really.
Really wanted to say that. Thank you. I really thank you. I don't know your name, but I thank you for that knowledge. This is what I was looking for, and you answer my question. Thank you.
Okay. So the cost of the oil. And a lot of times, the song that says, you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. And as Sabrina said, the oil of solution. And you know, it's total surrender. It's giving God our all. When we pray for the latter rain to rain down upon us, the power, and you know, one of my prayer is for us to go back to that place where we can hear like the prophet saying to us, thus said the Lord. God is speaking. He has always been speaking. We need to sit with him in quiet confidence and hear what he has to say to us. And it is not our will, it's not our way, but it is his way and his will. Okay, so we are moving on. Are there benefits in being a pace setter? And the answer is yes. You will stand before kings, according to Proverbs 22:29, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Sometimes when we have to go to certain people in authority, we become fearful. We are afraid to go. I remember one lady said to me, a message was given to her to give to the prime minister, but she is afraid to go. But if God has given you a message, he is able, he abundantly able to keep you, to guide your feet, to make the crooked path straight. What we need to do is say, God, grant me favor. Holy Spirit, go before me and say, thus said the Lord. And we have pace setters in the word of God, like Esther. She said, if I perish, I perish. But what did she do before? She went down to God in prayer and fasting. Not her alone, but she also had those persons around her praying and fasting and asking God to do something. Do something for us. Do something new in our lives so we can stand before the king. Daniel stood before the king, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, and he told them what the dreams were. This is what God is saying to you. When it is a message from God, we have nothing to fear. He has given us the power to stand before kings. You will have respect and honor. We ask for favor. And as we said earlier, someone said, our lives are the book, the only Bible that some men would read. And when we stand for Christ, yes, we will be ridiculed because Jesus was. But at the end of the day, he gained respect. And at the end of the day, even the devil would bow and recognize him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You will be an encouragement to others. And when we spoke about Jesus as a pace setter, we said in serving others, Jesus served others. And it was demonstrated so vividly when he stooped with the towel and the basin and he washed every one of his disciples' feet. Peter took offense to it. But after a while, when he recognized, when Jesus spoke with him, he said, not only my feet, Lord, not only my feet. So what we need to do is ask God as pace setters, not only to wash our feet, but take every single part of us so that others can see the life we're living and they can be encouraged. Even if it's a simple smile to somebody, a good morning, how are you? A Bible verse. Something, sometimes somebody run in your mind. Don't take it for granted. You can either prefer the person, or if you have a number, send a message and say, hi, how are you today? Because we never know. We never know. Somebody, as a chorus says, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They went down on their knees and prayed for me. So an encouragement can be a prayer for somebody. Somebody sick. There are those persons who are mourning the loss of a loved one. There are some persons who feel as if they have gone so far away from God and there's no comeback. But an encouraging word can say to them, it doesn't matter how far you are, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you. Like the woman at the well, everybody, she went at the well at around 12 o'clock when the sun is very hot. And that was very significant when Jesus saw her. And he had compassion on her. And he had a conversation with her. And that make a difference. He encouraged her, although she went around the mulberry bush about worshiping where and the mountain and the well and the whatever. That the main point that Jesus wanted to give her something. Give her the water that he had, that she will never thirst anymore. The water that we naturally drink from the pipe, we would get thirsty after a while. But the water that God will give to us, the water will never run dry and we will never get thirsty. So we can encourage somebody else as pace setters. It's also a benefit when we win the loss to Jesus, he would reward us. He said, whatever we do in secret, he will reward us in the open. It says you will be a point of reference. Jesus was a point of reference. Esther is a point of reference. Joseph, David, Daniel, and we can need Joshua, Nehemiah. In recent time, Nehemiah has become my friend. The spirit of Nehemiah asking God to allow it to dwell within us. Why? As a pace setter, what he did when he heard bad news, did he cry out and say, what is happening with me now? No, he went to the Lord. He seeked the Lord. Even David, in every situation, David seeked the Lord. David even encouraged himself in the Lord. Nehemiah prayed and fasted and asked God for direction. And he was granted favor from the king to walk, to go right through Jerusalem. And when he went there, did he stop praying? No. Every little thing he had to do, he asked God's guidance. And when God see we have a passion for the things of him, and we recognize that our life is not our own, what he would do, he will grant us favor. We will be a point of reference. Jesus also was a point of reference. Those are the benefits spiritually and even physically that we can have. Remember, as wailing women, we are the end time army. We are to watch our walls and our gates. We are to repair and rebuild, tear down the altars, the ungodly altars as pace setters, and build altars of righteousness unto Almighty God. He would be well pleased. And the point of reference there doesn't mean we have to be high-minded. As it says, Jesus as a pace setter, he did things in humility. He humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. In everything that Jesus did, it was for the glorification of the Father. And we can walk that way also, that whatever we do, we must say, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in our lives. Be glorified in everything that we do. Why? We are supposed to be different. We are supposed to stand up for righteousness. We are to live the life that others can see as a point of reference, that others can come to know the Lord as Savior, as Messiah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how can we do that? We ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And as I said on Tuesday, a big cup overflowing with discernment to know exactly what is happening around us. Now, number seven, there are further studies. And these have a lot of scripture, so you still have homework to do to go through the scriptures and see how much we can understand what they're saying based on what they say. You must be a pace setter in your prayer life. And the example they gave is Esther, Daniel, and it's also in Colossians 4:2. And I would like to add Nehemiah and even David. David prayed a lot. David sang a lot of songs unto God. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said he will make a boast, not in himself, but in the Lord. So as pace setters, we must be in consistent prayer. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we can be driving, we can be walking, running, sitting, cooking, cleaning, washing, and we are talking to God. And also, it is important that we listen to him, have a conversation with him. So prayer doesn't mean we are asking him all the time. Prayer means it's a two-way communication. Sit in quiet confidence and hear what he has to say to us. Next, in studying the Bible, according to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15 and 1 Timothy 4:13, he says, We must study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed. Today, I was asking the Lord, God, you cannot make me as your child to be ashamed. No. When we walk in with the Lord in the light of his word, how do we know him? Diligently studying the word of God. We're in a classroom. In order to pass to go to the next class, we have to study. We have to take time. Take a few minutes, even during the day. We have a break from work. Get a word, a scripture. Turn it over in our thoughts and ask God, what are you saying to me through this verse? How, what is happening? Why is it happening? So that it would help us to grow from strength to strength. Study to show ourselves approved. It also says, in conversation and conduct, how do we speak? How do we say something to another person? How do we conduct ourselves? And they give some scriptures here, Matthew 15:11, 2 Timothy 2:16, Colossians 4:6, James. We also have Peter. And also, I would want to add, they don't have it here, but we go back to the same Galatians 5. The way we conduct ourselves using the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness and kindness and patience, and love. As pace setters, do we have those qualifications? And we spoke about qualifications or qualities as pace setters on Tuesday. And we spoke about some of the persons who had those qualities. We had to look also to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. His qualification is very high. He, as one person said, I think was Brenda Lee, he gave up his heavenly privilege. He gave them up so that he could come to earth. We are to be pace setters in our relationship, one with God. Hebrews 11:6, Colossians 3:1-4. How are we to build our relationship with God? We have to be in constant communication with him. And as I said before, what we do, we listen. Quick to be to hear and slow to speak. Hear the word of the Lord. And I think one verse in the Bible said, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And I show God says to us sometimes, oh, my children, children, hear my words. Listen, let us build a relationship with God to be in him and about him, to be about our father's business. And it says in our relationship with our husbands, and we have a lot of verses here that we can read to see how we can, as pace setters, we can build relationship with our husbands. And they too, let's say some of them might have started out knowing the Lord as Savior, and they might have walked away, but based on our attitude towards them, they can return and be sanctified with our children. And I'll go back with our husbands, because when we as pace setters and wailing women worldwide, we can have our husbands being part of Men Aglow. Men Aglow in the Caribbean, let it grow. Let they think that men are extinct. But we see a lot of guys on the block, even husbands. Some husbands on the block, they spend time on the block, They are not industrious. What we can do is our life, and we prefer them, so that whatever relationship we build with them as pacemakers, we can make the difference in their life, and they too can join. And while wailing women worldwide are praying, the men of glow can also be praying. They can support the wailing woman. Our children can be wailing daughters and sons when we build a relationship with them. Teach them the word of God, that the word will not depart from them. The Bible says, a command that he gave to the children of Israel, teach the children the word, bind them around their neck and write it on the table of their heart. And the best way we can have a relationship with our children is to be a positive mentor and a positive role model. Let them see children are imitators. Our employers, you know, sometimes they might rub us the wrong way, but we can make a difference in their life based on how we respond to them. Colossians 3, 22, Titus 2, 9 to 3. Titus 2, 9. And then we have chapter 3 and verse 2. With others, in-laws, neighbors, colleagues, relatives, etc. These are, we have to study and see how we can help our neighbors. Pray for them. Pray for our in-laws. Pray for our co-workers and relatives, so that they would come to know the Lord as Savior before it is too late. About a month or two ago, I had a walking partner who was a colleague. We'll walk in afternoons. And then we spoke, and he told me he was not feeling too well. And not feeling too well, did not realize what was happening. And one day when I messaged him, he told me he and Barbados was doing some tests. And by the time he came back home, myself and another colleague went to visit him. And even as my profession, as I entered the room, all I could have done is whisper a word of prayer. And my heart pained because of certain circumstances and to see where he was at. But you know what encouraged me? It was his faith in Almighty God, and the way he related to his wife and what he said to her and what he said when we were there. And I came home from that day, and I was, you know, I became so passionate, and sometimes I would sit and just tears keep flowing, and wanting to go back to visit him, but it was too late. The next news I got is that he died. But what makes me able to go through that process is knowing his faith in Almighty God. 2 days before he died, he sat down and discussed his going home ceremony with his wife. And he said to her, "Don't worry, I'm not a perfect man. Don't sell it as if I was perfect." And that said a lot, because I knew that with him, he was not going to cross Jordan alone. So we have to be in tune. We have to have our ears to the ground, as we put it, and be in prayer, because we never know. We cannot take things for granted as pace setters, because we're not sure what is the next step. The next step, God may be calling somebody who is close to us home, or even we ourselves. So it says here, in keeping the commandments of God, as pace setters, we are to keep the commandments of God. What he says, we must do. And in conclusion, but remember, please remember, please read the scripture, and I am encouraged when I heard some person saying this afternoon that they have read the scriptures and they were able to explain. Yes, there are those of us who have a busy schedule, but I think somebody spoke about, I'm not sure if it's on this platform, but there is what you call the speaking Bible. So if you're not able to read, you download it, and while you're doing whatever, you can press it. Some people said they sleep with it on, you know, and the more we inject the word of God into our system, is the better, is the more of God's quality we would take on, and is the more we would want to know him and know his resurrective power for our lives. From this study, we can see that the pace setters we looked at were people that feared and obeyed God. The word said to obey is better than sacrifice. Samuel told that to Saul when he went about, he could not wait. He was not able to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Patience. Sometimes we lack patience. Sometimes we are there waiting for a long time on something. Or maybe someone, and then we say, no, I'm tired waiting. But sometimes God gives us a timing. God's timing may not align with our timing. 1,000 years for us is 1 day with the Lord. And sometimes he's teaching us a lesson. He would send us through the wilderness experience, brokenness, so that we can know, truly understand who he is. And as the song says, trust and obey, for there is no other way. They all had times of trials, temptations, and problems, but because they knew God, they were delivered from them all. God expects us to be the pace setters in these last days so that our lives can challenge our generation and win them to the Lord. Challenge our generation, challenge the generation that comes after us also. There's a song that says, may all those who come behind us find us faithful. Faithful unto God. Faithfulness is what God requires of us. And I did a bit of note writing here below the conclusion, and it says there are 5 levels of a pace setter. Positive position. So we are to position ourselves. We are to position ourselves on the wall as watchmen. God called Gideon, and what did Gideon do? He went back home to his families. His father's house to do a cleaning up, or in other words, to do a circumcision. He broke down and he rebuilt. And then he moved on to do God's bidding. So an effective leader or an effective pace setter would position themselves in a positive way. And when we do that, people follow us beyond the line of duty. When we look to the original leader or the original pace setter, who is Jesus, and we notice before there's a long list of Jesus as a pace setter, and some people did some explanation. One of it, he was selfless. He make a lot of sacrifice, not only the sacrifice on the death of the cross, but he also sacrificed himself when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. As wailing women, as pace setters, there are times when we need to leave the food alone and empty ourselves, purge ourselves, detox ourselves, so that we can be powerful in our spiritual walk with God. We are to help others to develop themselves or see the potential in each individual. And we can see it not only in each individual, but in us cooperatively. Every person is reading the scripture that talks about the body. If the eyes say the body have no need of me, where would we go? How would we see where we're going? If the hand says, you know what, the body doesn't have any need of me, how would the work be done? How would we handle things? And Psalms 144, 1 and 2 tells us about what the hands and the fingers are being used for. As wailing women and as Christians. So we are to see the work in others. Some sow the seed, there are those who would water it, but God gives the increase. And there are those who would harvest. The word says the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. As pace setters, we are to position ourselves. A pace setter is a constructive, critical thinker and see things objectively. They don't see things one way. They are constructive in whatever they're doing to get things done. If we're being asked to do something like this afternoon, I had to hustle home. Because I knew I had the class at 6 o'clock. So I pressed the gas a little bit to get here because I know sometimes my laptop gives me a little bit of problems when I have to go on the Zoom. So I needed to be here. And as pace setters, there are times when we have to get ready to be on our alert. We have to look at things objectively, especially when it comes to the things of God. What we do also, we help others to see God in us. Somebody alluded to that very earlier. We are the book, the Bible, that some people read so that they can invite the God in their heart for themselves. They would have a godly jealousy that they would want what we have. When they see the glow, the Shekinah glory within our lives, that's what they would want. We are to leave countless trademarks. May all those who come behind us find us faithful. And as somebody reminded us, when we look at our birth, the year in which we were born, and perhaps a year when we will die, there's a dash in the middle. What is the meaning of the dash in the middle? The dash in the middle is the legacy that we would leave after we would gone, when our bodies would rot. What would persons say about us? What would they remember us for? And on Saturday, when we were in a retreat with Jamaica, one of the pastors was talking about the word remember. And up to this morning and last night, that word was drilling in my heart. Remember. Lord, remember us. But we also need to remember Almighty God and where he has brought us from. Leave countless trademarks so that somebody would say that person was a good gate watcher. They watched the tower. Something within us must be left behind so that others can see. And the sentence I have below, it says, Lord, may my life assist others to live for you. A prayer, a sentence. Lord, may my life, Lord, may our life assist others to live for you. There's a chorus that says, you are the pillar. That holds our lives. He is a foundation. He's a rock. He is our strong tower. We go to him, we run to him as pace setters. When we're not sure which direction we must go, we call out to God and he will say, do not look to the left nor the right. This is my way. Walk in it. We have come to the end of 2 chapters in 2 weeks. Discipleship and pace setters. And when we look at them very carefully, when we are being discipled to walk according to God's ordinances, then from that we move to setting the pace. We are to set the pace. And remember on Tuesday I spoke about the rabbits in the trailblazers, the rabbits in the marathon. They go out front as leaders, as warriors, as the end time army, as Esther's, when we would say, if I perish, I perish, but I am going to see the king. God is not like that earthly king, in a sense where if the scepter is not being handed out or pushed out, Esther could not enter, but she was determined, if he does not do it, I'm still going, because I am not the only person involved in this. I have my other colleagues, my other family members, my other neighbors, my other nationals, who is going to suffer under the hand of the decree that Haman helped to put together. And she didn't go alone. She didn't fast alone. Help us to determine that we will not go to heaven alone, but we'll take somebody with us. Somebody will go with us. Family members, neighbors. And sometimes I reach to the stage where I even pray that God would save those who rise up against us, as they call it, enemies. God is faithful. He's true. His words are yea and amen. Help us to be encouraged as pace setters to truly set the pace so that others can see the life we're living. Thank you very much, ladies. We have come to the end of these 2 chapters, and let us not just rest them there. But we need to go over them. Sometimes the training manual books, after a while, start getting old and tattered. And it says how often we go over them. The mandate, we have done those early up. Read them over, get familiar, get to understand what they're saying. And I'm happy that so many persons were able to share this afternoon, because you gain so much. So let us not put what we have learned, put it aside. But when we learn things, it changes our behavior. It changes how we see things. It changes our attitude. So let us go forward in faith. We have 3 minutes before 8 o'clock reach. And I want somebody, Teresa, I'm going to ask you to close us off in prayer. And then I'm going to ask, because I didn't hear Kenya's voice this afternoon, so I am going to ask her to do the dusting off. Simonia Brown, I can't remember hearing you either. So you are going to say the grace. And I see a Galaxy A7. Good night. It's good having you also. So let's close off, please. Teresa?
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for everything we have learned here on this platform, my God. We thank you, my God, for your day. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy, O God. Father, we thank you for every sister's that have been on that platform tonight, my God. Father, thank you for everything we have learned, O God. Father, help us to apply it to us, O Father. Help us to apply it. Help us to be a peace setters, my God. Wherever we go, O God, the world will see the peace in us, Father. Help us, O God, to look unto somebody, O God, to attend to someone, O God, to bring the word to them, O Father. Give us the grace and the courage, O God. Give us wisdom, understanding, O God. Jesus was a peace setter. He died on the cross for us, my God. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary cross for us, O God. Had it not been Jesus, you die on the cross for us, we would not be here this afternoon, my God. Father, we thank you, my God. We give you praise, glory, and honor, my God. Oh, Father God, we thank you for everything, my God. Thank you, Father, for my dear sister, oh God. My God, I pray, Father, have your way in our life. Intervene, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And now we dust ourselves off from the smoke and the dust of war.